You can meet and hear Anthony Esselin, John Warwick Montgomery, Ryan Anderson, Bev Yonke, Mark Kaltoff, and Chris Rosebro at the 2018 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. Early bird registration is $110. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. We've covered a lot of ground so far in our series on dualities in Scripture. We've talked a lot about, well, who the Christian is, the identity of the Christian as both saint and sinner. Now we need to turn kind of outside the Christian and talk about the Christian in the context of his neighbor, the one to whom he is speaking. Now, the Christian has many things to say to his neighbor. Many of them just fall within the category of serving that neighbor in his Christian vocation. But then there is also, if you remember when we talked about the Christian as a priest too, there is that privilege of speaking God's word to his neighbor. But first, we kind of need to know who we're talking to and then what we're going to say to them. That's the subject of part five of our series on dualities in Scripture. Dr. Alfonso Espinosa joins us on this Thursday afternoon. He is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Irvine, California, adjunct professor of theology at Concordia University, Irvine, and author of The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Dr. Espinosa, welcome back.
Todd, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
We're going to be talking in a way about law and gospel, this distinction, this duality in Scripture, pretty extensively today. Is this distinction of law and gospel just one way among many for interpreting the Bible?
No. And we testified, we in our Lutheran confessional tradition in Lutheran Church Missouri Synod stands by that conviction. That's the way we approach the Lutheran Study Bible, which I got to contribute to as a study notes contributor, that the lens for understanding Scripture is law and gospel. These are the two themes. There are no others. And we're pretty clear about that, Todd. All people need law and gospel. And without the law and gospel, we cannot come to a point that we see our problem, our sin, and see our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be law and gospel.
So when the Christian finds himself in an opportunity to speak God's word to someone else, what's the first thing they need to be concerned about?
So in this chapter 8, Todd, I'm actually presenting two dualities. It sounds kind of funny to say that, but each of the chapters dedicated to major dualities, like the first one we covered from chapter 6 regarding visible and invisible was a singular duality, and then last time, chapter 7 on old man, new man is a singular duality. But here in chapter 8, we're talking about two dualities. The first one we're looking at is how the gospel itself is both inclusive and exclusive. The second duality is we talk about the fact that people are either in a state and being regenerated by the Holy Spirit that they know they need the gospel, or people are not in a state where they know they need the gospel. It's one or the other. There's no straddling the fence. There's no in between. So I'm approaching this question in terms of your question in respect to the inclusivity-exclusivity principle in this chapter 8, that we always begin with a fundamental approach foundation. And that approach is to view the person, no matter who they are or what they are. They may be a prison inmate, they may be a pastor, a congregational president, they may be an adulterer, a Satanist, a clerk at Home Depot, or someone who works at Wendy's. It doesn't matter. We are approaching that person in such a way as to remember the principle of the inclusivity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are led as Lutheran Christians in this fundamental anchoring article of the faith of gratia universalis, universal grace. For God so loved the world, the cosmos, every single people that he sent his one and only son. So we approach people with this insistence to see that person as one for whom Christ lived and died and rose. So I'm going to serve them in the love of God as I approach them. And in that inclusivity, furthermore, I'm going to remember this distinction that we Lutheran Christians make according to scriptural revelation. We're going to remember what objective justification means. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, this person in front of me, whoever they are, wherever they're coming from, Jesus died for this one and covered this one's sins with his blood. That must be the launching point as we engage with people.
So before anything is even said, we begin with the premise that this is a person for whom Christ, in fact, did die, and to whom God does earnestly, sincerely want to grant saving faith.
Positively. This is an attitudinal approach. Before we've even uttered a word, before we've uttered a syllable, before we said anything to this person. And one of the things that this does, Todd, is it frankly it frees us up. It kind of liberates us in this process of witnessing. Look, it's already been established. This person in front of me is someone for whom Christ died. That does all kinds of things for my soul, my psyche, my peace as I engage this person. This person, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is the one that my Savior shed his blood for. And knowing my Savior as I do, the one that I rejoice in for salvation, wow, I already share this with this person in front of me. They, too, are given this truth of Jesus for them. And that helps us tremendously as we engage with people and just getting us off on the right foot. It's very much an attitudinal first step.
What is the second duality that we need to talk about before we go into some detail on these two?
Yeah, well, the first duality is this inclusivity, and it's complemented then with the exclusivity, which still need to say more about. And that presents to us the fundamental challenge in witnessing to people as we present the gospel. But the second duality in this chapter 8 is whether or not the person we're speaking to sees their need for salvation. And furthermore, and this is a very, very fine note, it's extremely important. Not only do they see their need, but they're utterly convinced that they can't do anything for themselves to save themselves. This is a both and within this duality, another duality within the duality. But the second duality, to answer your question clearly, is a duality. Is this person either one who knows their need and is convinced already that they cannot save themselves, or are they someone who does not yet know their need and is not yet convinced that there's nothing they can do to save themselves? That's a diagnostic question, and it's extremely important as we go forth to know what it is we need to share with that person, law or gospel.
So let's go back through this again. You had mentioned the inclusivity, which is really of primary importance before we step out and begin to speak to someone, to speak to our neighbor. But you also said there is a radically exclusive nature to the gospel message. How can that be?
Yeah, goodness gracious. And you've led me to the point that is the singular most important apologetic aspect in this book, faith that sees through the culture. This is something we have to defend and we have to have clear in our minds as we go forth to be God's witnesses. It's too easy to go along with this neo-evangelical thing that kind of demonizes people. This person's an unbeliever, therefore already, what could I possibly have in common with them? And it just kind of lends to this us and them mentality, and it doesn't do us any good. And it interferes with the attitude of love. But the inclusivity helps us to see, no, we are both loved by God. Jesus has died for both of us. Jesus has already paid for the sins of both of us. That's how far we go. It's not a matter of dropping the if bomb. Jesus only shed his blood for your sins if you believe. No. He's already done it. Whether or not you believe, he's already done it. Now, having said that, as we shift to the exclusivity, the only way that universal grace can be in place is if we can clearly identify an empirical event in time history that we know God actually conducted the work to accomplish the inclusivity. And that work is the exclusive gospel that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It's in the only Savior, Jesus, the exclusive Savior, Jesus. It's only by his blood, only by his resurrection, that we know personally that this universal salvation applies to me as I cling to him as the exclusive Savior. And Todd, in the heart of this book is to tackle what follows this, our good and right and salutary insistence that this is a both and with inclusivity and exclusivity. And people hear this in general in our pluralistic culture that wants to relativize everything. People are basically saying, how dare you say that? You're essentially saying at this point, you're contradicting yourself. You say that God loves all people, but now I have to do it your way. What about other religions? What about other ways for approaching God? So what we do, Todd, is we take the time in this book to conduct an apologetic that it is utterly valid, not only theologically, but logically speaking, to put inclusivity and exclusivity side by side. And we give real life examples. We can give examples scientifically. We know that for the most part, we have water available to all people in the world. Water is for all people to survive. We all know it. Everyone has a claim on H2O. But no one in the right mind would say, you know, I'm really offended by this, by your position that you're insisting that I need H2O. Why can't I use some kind of elemental compound, some other molecular structure element, and use that instead of H2O? Of course, no one would ever say that. Everyone is going to recognize the inclusive nature of water and the exclusive nature of water. Water is for all people. It better be water that you're drinking or you're going to die. Now, that's a scientific example. The relational example is that we know, normally speaking, if a person wants to get married and they're looking forward to marriage, at that point in time, it's pretty much kind of a universal situation. You could marry a whole number of people, possibly. But once you continue that track and actually get married, that inclusive idea and concept becomes a very exclusive one. You marry one person who, in fact, becomes your wife. I have one wife. I'm married to Tracy Dawn. That is my exclusive experience in this once-upon-a-time inclusive possibility that I had before I got married. But, of course, it comes out most importantly in Scripture. Yes, sola gratia and universal grace is for everybody. That's actually sola gratia universalis. It's for everybody. At the same time, not contradicting that, but complementing that is John 14:6. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And Acts 4:12, there is no other name given unto men under heaven by which they must be saved. So we hold on to that both end. And if you compromise either way, Todd, you lose the gospel.
Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is our guest. We're in part 5 of our series on dualities in Scripture, talking today about law and gospel. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Irvine, California, and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through the Culture.
This was my first time going, and I was extremely thrilled with everything that was provided, from the materials to being able to meet the speakers and authors of books.
Ben from Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about The Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
Thank you for putting on the conference and providing the educational material that we can use in our world today.
Learn more about our fall Making the Case conference at issuesetc.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth will declare your praise.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
We're talking about the duality of law and gospel, and the duality of that gospel as being both all-inclusive and exclusive. Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is our guest in our series on dualities in Scripture. He is author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. This is a great primer on the things that often confuse people when they read the Bible. Lutheran theology is able to hold these dualities in the scriptural tension, the way they're presented in Scripture, and to show, as in the case of the exclusive, inclusive nature of the gospel, that they are not in contradiction, in fact, but they are complementary to one another. You can find out more by reading this book, Faith That Sees Through the Culture, by Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. You can find it on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. You can also call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and order the book for yourself, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the book, The Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Dr. Espinosa, you said right before the break that when it comes to this all-inclusive, exclusive nature of the gospel message, if you compromise either one, you lose the gospel. Take us through that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we have ingrained inside of us in our sinful nature that this presumption of righteousness, it's an automatic thing. It's the air that the sinful nature breathes. The only way I can ever be justified, righteous, et cetera, is by the keeping of the law. That's it. That's our natural religion. That's popular religion. It oozes out of every single other world religion there is on planet Earth. And even if you don't consider yourself a religionist, you still think that way. Even if one claims to be an atheist, they have to have some kind of calm assurance within their conscience that they're living a good life to feel good about it. So this problem of self-righteousness and works righteousness is always, always there. So the first thing we have to do is completely demonstrate that this gospel is all-inclusive for sinners. Look, you can try to keep the system going, but it's gonna break down. It doesn't work. It will never calm your conscience. You'll always know something is wrong. And the thing that breaks through, this power of the gospel that breaks through, is says, you know, here's the truth. Look at what the Word of God presents. When Matthew is presenting Jesus' genealogy, and he points to all these great-great-great-grandmothers, such as Rahab or Ruth or Bathsheba, God is saying clearly, look, I have come for sinners through sinners. As Matthew was presenting this, his Jewish hearers were offended. Oh, yeah, we really don't want to talk about those people. But why did God permit that? To show his love is all-inclusive. Because you can't rely on a system that works righteousness. I've come for sinners who are helpless, who are condemned. And then he goes on to give such great accounts as Luke 15 and the parable of the prodigal son, the lost son. God shows how his love overflows in the Father, that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, and forgives his Son for things that people just can't imagine can be forgivable. But once you present that inclusivity that breaks through this idea of works righteousness, it's all about love, it's all about mercy, and people intuitively will know, you know what, I need to listen to this. It's so radically different. Of course, we need the Holy Spirit working through the Word to convict them. You need to get away from your works righteous system. Once we present that inclusivity, we have to go to Jesus, the exclusive way of knowing how it is I can take full assurance that this inclusive gospel really belongs to me. Because when Jesus alone, the Son of God, the one and only Son of God, was dying on that cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago outside the city gates of Jerusalem on the Hill of the Skull on that Roman cross, that one and that one alone, this blood and this blood alone, is a way that I can know that this inclusive gospel belongs to me. So inclusive, exclusive must be held together in our presentation of the gospel.
The other distinction that you wanted to make clear today has to do with kind of the state of the heart, or the state of the mind, I guess we could say, of the person to whom we are speaking. You said that we need to be able to discern whether or not this person feels their need or not for such a all-inclusive salvation.
Yes, Todd, and this was one of the points of the book where you just can't pull punches. You have to be as clear as day about this. At the end of the day, consider, for example, Matthew chapter 9, when Jesus says, "I have not come. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Until the person knows that they have a problem, they're never going to be interested in the solution. Until a person knows that they're sick, they're never going to be interested in the healing or the medicine. Until a person knows that they're a desperate sinner, they're never going to know they need a savior. And this is the part that our say it right, political correctness, universal love society doesn't get. We don't want to hear this part. This is where the gospel can be offensive. And look, we're doing all we can in our presentation to avoid unnecessary offense. But we need to understand sometimes if you could present it perfectly, and sometimes people will take offense anyway because they don't want to hear the truth that they're a poor, miserable sinner who needs to be saved in Christ alone. But what we're trying to establish here now, and speaking to the person we're speaking to, before I get into law and gospel specifically, and this is not a matter of me foisting labels on anybody. Much to the contrary, I want to engage the person and take time to love them and care and converse with them so that they end up telling me where they're at, where they disclose what's going on in their own identity in person. And when the moment I find out that a person does not have what our Lutheran confessions refer to fundamentally as the terrors of conscience, there is something terribly wrong in this life, in my life, in this world. And I don't feel too comfortable about this idea that I'm going to die. If a person doesn't have that fundamental discomfort, that fundamental dissonance, added with the following, Todd, and this is, we have to be thorough. I can't simply say that they know there's a problem or they know they need help. That sounds pretty good, but I need to go a little bit further. We need to go a little bit further. And that little bit further is, furthermore, they must also be convinced that there's nothing they can do to save themselves. Now, when a person is there, then I can recognize and diagnose the Holy Spirit's already been there to convict them. The Holy Spirit's already been there to show them their need and their helplessness. That person doesn't need to hear the law from me. They need to hear the gospel. But the moment that I realize that the person I'm speaking to is not seeing their true dilemma, who still has hope in their own efforts, that person is not to receive the gospel. I know that sounds harsh, but this is actually spoken in love, Todd. This is a loving diagnosis. If we're truly going to love a person who is at that stage, we need to share the law, because it's only the law that can reveal sin and our desperate need for salvation.
Dr. Alfonso Espinosa is pastor of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irvine, California. He is adjunct professor of theology at Concordia University, Irvine, and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for July, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. I'm sure we'll continue this conversation, Dr. Espinosa. I'll look forward to our next installment.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's great being here.
When we come back in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., it's time to go through some listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line. After having done that, Pastor Kevin Martin's going to join us. He's written a column for First Things titled simply, Co-wo, No Grow. We'll talk about whether or not contemporary worship has really been about attracting new members to your church. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.